Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode one of the Dudes on Hockey podcast. It's a podcast about San Jose Sharks hockey, about professional hockey, NHL hockey. We're going to be doing it all through the summer, once a week. We're going to be releasing it on Wednesdays. You can find the podcast at dudesonhockey.com. I hope you will also choose to read our blog, which is at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. We'll be linking back and forth, and you can read the written word that we put out there. You can read all the things that we post throughout the week, sometimes daily, but all the things that are going on in the NHL. And today we're going to be talking mostly about the thing that's happened in the NHL the past week or so, the draft. But we got to talk about what we just did tonight. We went and did select a seat.
Something much more important than the draft, Mike, is us. Right. And we got our new seats tonight. We moved from section 124 to section 118. Ladies,
right
out.
So, everybody take notes on that, and feel free to buy us beers. We're in row 22, and you can find us. Doug's the one who's going to be the drunkest. So the drunkest guy in row 22, that will be Doug.
And the thinnest guy in row 22 will be Mike.
Right, but the biggest hitter, too, so put me on the ice.
I like our new seats, and you know, I don't want to dwell on this for too long, but I think I had a hard time moving. We loved where we were sitting, but now we don't have to listen to the guy two rows behind us yelling "Brownie" every time Curtis Brown comes on the ice.
Or "Shoot,
shoot, shoot a puck,
shoot, Brownie." Exactly. So I'm sure we'll have an equally annoying jackass who will say something else. Actually, when I went and saw the Ducks, we had some guys behind us that managed to mispronounce every name on the Sharks, so maybe we'll get one of those.
Shoot the puck, Michalik.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll get one of those, Michalik. But anyway, let's talk about what's happened recently here in the NHL and with the Sharks, and that's draft day. Happened last Friday and Saturday. Round one was on Friday, rounds 2 through 7 on Saturday. Sharks weren't involved on Friday at all, and we'll talk about the fact that the Sharks did not move up to get a number one draft pick later on. But let's talk about who the Sharks did get. They made several moves. They traded up to get a guy named Justin Daniels in the third round, who I don't really know anything about. I'm a little surprised they didn't take Jonathan Toews' brother instead. But that's a move that I just don't know enough about to really comment intelligently about. The one thing I do want to talk about is the fourth round pick that they got, Harry Sateria, goaltender from Finland. This guy was, by most accounts, one of the best goaltenders in the draft. He was ranked overall number 34 by Hockey News, overall number 57 by TSN. He was ranked by Central Scouting as the second best European goaltender in the draft, and the Sharks got him at 106. I'd say that's a fantastic move.
Sharks love those European goaltenders, and the history that they have with developing goaltenders, Kiprusoff, Nabokov, Wade Flaherty. I mean, these guys are home runs,
Johan Hedberg, right?
Right. Johan Hedberg. I mean, what we figure out that they have five goalies,
four or five in the NHL, and they're all European, except for of course the inevitable Wade Flaherty, right?
Who is in the AHL,
right?
And he's a stud.
He is amazing, but yeah, Harry Sateria looks to be another great move for the Sharks. Not a whole lot happened before or after that.
Don't gloss over Samuel Grewal now.
Right.
How do you say his last name?
I want to say it's Grewal.
I think he wants to be Samuel Vlasic because talk about a man crush. I mean, this guy loves pickles. Mark Edward Vlasic, he says, his favorite player.
Right. I would aim a little bit higher than Mark Edward Vlasic.
There's nothing wrong with Vlasic, and he's a good, you know, shutdown defenseman, but this kid, I mean, they were reading off his stats, and I think he was about 5'3", 110 pounds. He looked like the towel boy at the Gold's Gym. I'm not sure how he's going to...
I think his other favorite defenseman was Jason Cullimore.
He's definitely a long-term project, for sure, and he needs to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and eat some food.
Right. I know a lot of these kids, you see them come up to the podium, and especially the guy, what was his name? Tyler Myers, 6'7" and 190 something pounds. I mean, the kid's a reed. But I mean, all these kids at 18, they need to work on conditioning. And
that guy's going to be the white Alexei Semenov. Like he's the North American Alexei Semenov, that guy. We're going to hopefully still be doing this podcast in 3 years when he's reached the NHL, and we're just going to be laughing at him.
He's going to be the hockey version of Sean Bradley.
Yeah, he should be in the parking lot and people should be teaching their kids to drive around him.
I think Mike Rathje already has that job. Anyway, yeah, so let's talk about, other than the draft day, which there were some definitely winners and losers, let's talk about the winners. I think Phoenix was a winner. They made the biggest trade of the day. They got Olli Jokinen in exchange for Keith Ballard, Nick Boynton, and a number two pick. They also made, in my mind, a very good first round draft pick in getting Michael Bogner, from Denmark.
They also got Tikhonov at the end of that round.
That's right. They did get Tikhonov, who is a local boy. So congratulations to him. I know he was undrafted the last 2 years and was drafted this year. So congratulations. He's been playing in Russia, and I hope to see him in the NHL very soon.
Phoenix is going to be scary next year. And with Brizgalov, he could steal a game any night. Boynton and Ballard are two, you know, top four defensemen who log a lot of minutes, but they can be replaced in the free agent market very easily. I think, you know, there's a pretty decent crop of blue collar defensemen,
right,
which is what Gretzky is going to be looking for. And those guys, and if he can get a puck mover like Hainsey and a blue collar guy like Commodore for not that much money, or even if he has to overpay a little bit, Phoenix is in good shape. What about Chicago, Mike?
Right. I think Chicago, they obviously made a draft of your boyfriend, Kyle Beach. You love Kyle Beach, as I do. You watch this guy fight in, you know, on hockey fights or whatever, and this kid has an edge. He plays on the edge. Everybody viewed him as a wild card of the draft. Can he keep his head about him? Can he keep his wits about him and not put himself in the penalty box at crucial times in the game? That question is as yet unanswered, but I still love that pick by the Chicago Blackhawks.
Some people like the Spice Channel. I like watching Kyle Beach videos on YouTube. Taze, Kane, and Kyle Beach in 3 years.
Right.
I mean, that's a very scary combination.
With the young blue line they got. I mean, if they can get Beach to regulate and keep those two guys out of trouble, keep those two guys from getting run at, that team could be extraordinarily dangerous in 2 years. The Central Division could all of a sudden be of a completely different texture.
How about Columbus? Now, you know, they made, you know, they got Filatov, they traded for RJ Umberger,
right,
but they still don't have anybody to center those wingers on that team.
Right. I mean, that was one potential destination for Marlowe, right? They had the number six. Yeah, the fact that they don't have a center for Rick Nash is a huge oversight. I don't know why they didn't address that in the first round. I think they, with Filatov, they clearly went with the best player remaining strategy for the draft instead of fill the need.
I don't think that was a bad pick.
No.
I'm still surprised that, you know, they weren't willing to offer that sixth pick for Jokinen. I mean, maybe they did, and Florida decided they would rather go with the two proven NHL blue liners. I mean, proven to be mediocre, by
right,
the way.
We don't know what those conversations were. Along in that vein, speaking of Filatov, a team that could have gotten him is the New York Islanders, who moved twice. They moved from number five overall to number seven, then they moved again from number seven to number nine to take the guy that they thought they wanted, Joshua Bailey. I don't know a whole lot about Bailey. I read about him, but most of the stuff I read about him said this guy's going to be a solid NHL player. He's not going to be great. The Hockey News compared him to somebody who could become Matt Stajan. In my mind, if you got the number five overall pick and you have as many needs as the Islanders do, you get a guy who is going to be better than Matt Stajan. You take Filatov, you take Luke Shen, you take Colin Wilson, you take Corey Hodgson, you take somebody who is going to either make a huge impact on your team or none at all. And it's a overly safe move. And I to my mind, the Islanders are the big losers of draft day.
Is Alzheimer's contagious, Mike? Because the Islanders and Maple Leafs tables were very close to each other. And I'm just saying that maybe some of Fletcher's Alzheimer's came over to Gar Snow, and he forgot.
Or maybe Charles Wang's got it too and gave it to Gar Snow.
I just don't get it. I would put a giant loser sign on the back of Gar Snow today.
Right.
Because it's not like they're going to be able to get any free agents to go to the island. And I know they're getting a new building, but they really don't have anything to look forward to
right
there, except for, you know, watching Bill Guerin take another puck in the face.
Right. I mean, stockpiling picks is great if you're going to get the guy that you want, but taking a guy that is not seemingly going to be a huge... I mean, they took a guy sort of like a Jordan Staal guy, but Jordan Staal was supposed to be really good, and he sort of morphed into this excellent shutdown third-line guy. Now they're taking a guy who is trying to be Jordan Staal as opposed to a first-line or second-line guy. I just... Let's get off that. I don't want to keep talking about the Islanders. Let's instead talk about what's going to happen next week. And what's going to happen next week is UFA season.
It's July. My favorite day. Yeah. Remember last year when was just a frenzy of... The time happened when they could start signing, and then people just started... It was like there was like a ton of offers out there, and... It was like watching people try and get into the new Hooters that opened in Campbell
right.
down the street from you.
Right.
Like, the doors open and everybody's running in to try and get a piece of Mark Strait.
Yeah, I was refreshing my browser every 15 seconds. We had IM chats and text messages going. I remember we were constantly text messaging each other that whole day. I don't think I got any work done. I hope my boss isn't listening. But anyway, I think we can expect next week to be the same thing. And one of the biggest free agents on the market is going to be a guy that the Sharks got at the trade deadline, and that's Brian Campbell. So the question on every Sharks fan's mind, I'm sure, is will we get Brian Campbell? What's the chances of us getting Brian Campbell? Doug?
I think it's 30%.
I'll take under.
That's probably a good bet.
Yeah. I just
if Campbell was going to stay, would it happen by now? I think it has nothing to do with the money or the Sharks being cheap. I think that Campbell was probably Wilson's number one priority this offseason, probably was willing to trade Patrick Marleau to make the room on the roster and mm-hmm. on the payroll to make it happen. And, you know, Campbell, for some reason, seems to want to explore his options on the East Coast for family reasons, which whatever that means, I don't know if we'll ever know what that means. You know, if he's got to be close to his mommy and, you know, needs to, I mean, maybe there's more redheaded people on the East Coast. Strawberry Shortcake Collection is out there. I'm gonna be pissed, and I'm gonna really miss having him on the team, no matter what people say about what happened in round one with him being totally overmatched by Calgary's physical play. He still scored a huge goal in that series, and he was very good in the Dallas series, and we saw how he changed the entire look of our team when he got there. And, you know, he's a piece of the puzzle. He's not supposed to be doing the heavy lifting or all heavy lifting. You know, you need to have a Brian Campbell, and then you need to put him next to a Brooks Orpik. You need to have those right. guys.
Or even a Doug Murray or a Kyle MacLaren who yeah. is able to skate.
Not on one leg.
Right.
So it kind of bums me out. And I think
he's a big power play piece. We hired a power play coach, yeah. a coach that that was in charge of one of the best power plays in the league. And now, you know, he's a guy that had Nick Lidstrom and Brian Rafalski to shoot the puck and move the puck around. And now we're going to be dealing with Craig Reve and Matt Carl.
Don't forget Dan Spang.
And maybe Dan Spang or Derek Joslin if we get lucky. But
it's a major, major downgrade. And the unrestricted guys that are available, Hainsey, Lyles, Strait, you know,
Jason
people,
Smith.
Yeah, Jason Smith. I they're just not
I
the
love
same.
Jason Smith.
I love him too, and I would love to see the Sharks get him. But you know, you've got
him and Brian Campbell. That's not even really a comparison.
They're not the same player, and you know, Jason Smith, Murray, MacLaren. You don't need all three of those guys. You know, is MacLaren going to get moved? You know, does anyone want him on one leg for $2.5 million? Murray, you know, really came into his own last year, but is he going to regress, or like Pickles kind of seemed to last year, or is he going to have a big year? You know, Murray in the playoffs was a non-factor. I mean, his minutes went right. way down. Ron Wilson stopped playing. I mean, was he injured? I don't know. I can't remember.
He played like a Mack truck in the world. So is that a question of coaching? I mean, these are all questions that are up in the air. And one thing that sort of is a black cloud surrounding this entire discussion is the fact that the Sharks do not go out and get big time free agents. I mean, what's the biggest free agent the Sharks have gotten in the last 10 years?
Alexei Semenov.
Close.
Wade Flaherty. Mike Greer.
Mike Greer, clearly.
Which, you know, is an important piece of the puzzle, even though he did not have a good year last year. Maybe Greer.
He's a third line guy.
He's an Sharks important fans. Guy. He's a penalty killer, but he's a third line guy. And I don't think it's because Doug Wilson doesn't try. We know he made a major sales pitch to Niedermeyer,
right.
And Niedermeyer picked playing with his brother, which was, you know, ended up being a real stupid move since he won a Stanley Cup.
Right.
But, you know, he tried to get Niedermeyer. We heard he tried to get Chara. We heard last year that rumors where he was in on Jason Smith and he was in on Sheldon Surrey. I mean, you don't know whether to believe those or not.
Right.
I would like to believe he was in on all that stuff. You know, thank God he didn't sign, you know, Surrey, who is like a medical mystery
right.
channel.
His like shoulder
special.
Fell off or something. Yeah.
What a mess.
He had a huge problem. But there's a lot of other guys, but there's secondary guys out there. Craig Conroy, Damon Lankow, Owen Nolan, you know.
But those
Brian
guys are
Ralston.
All, I think that they're all going to stay, all four of those guys that you just mentioned. Maybe not Conroy.
Or Ralston.
But Lankow.
Ralston's not going to stay.
It depends. You know, why would Minnesota let him go? Talk about a team that I don't even want to get into the Wild, but I mean, I'm not wild about the Minnesota Wild. I think that they suck. Like, to me, they're so boring. I mean, talk about like going to the dentist's office, watching the Minnesota Wild play. It's a snoozer on wheels. I mean, that they're so boring, and they're always going to be the same seventh seed team that gets into the playoffs with their dull ass play. And then they get in there and then they lay a giant turn on the ice, a
right.
big steamer on the blue line.
Right, right.
They need a makeover, and as long as Jacques Lemaire is there, it's always going to be the same.
It's true. It's going to be boring.
And the thing is, the Sharks need to think, I think, they're going to be looking at trades.
So in anticipation, is Marlowe's no trade clause kicks in on July 1st? What do you think? Is he going to be here in a week?
Yes.
You think he'll be here in a week?
I think he'll be here. I think unless that there's something out there, I think the goal was to trade Marlowe so we could keep Campbell. That was the trade-off.
Right.
But now that's not going to happen. So do you trade Marlowe so that you can try and sign Wade Redden, who's not going to come?
No.
And Wade Redden's, you know, he vetoed two trades to the Sharks, and he's not Brian Campbell. I mean, he's a good player, but he's on a decline in his career.
Right.
And he's not going to
be. He is certainly not a fan favorite in Ottawa right now. Oof.
So do you look at trying to replace Campbell in the trade market? You know, Marlowe, who could he get you? You know, LA is not going to give you Lubomir Vyshnovsky, you know, even though supposedly they're
money,
trying
right.
to move him.
Right.
They're never going to send him within
the division.
The division. And right. Doug Wilson would never send Marlowe to LA. I mean, no,
true.
There's no chance of that. So do you look at, you know, you've got
Bomeister? Bomeister's restricted.
He's not really a puck mover, though. Bomeister's more of a Scott Hannon type player. You know, what about Zidlicky in Nashville? He might be the odd man out there. You've got Suter. You've got
Shea Weber.
You've got DeVries. You've got a bunch of young defensemen there. They've got a pretty young team. Zidlicky's making 3.5. The Predators have problems scoring. I mean, would they do a swap? Chichu to Nashville for Zidlicky and maybe a pick or
for me,
a prospect?
Chichu's off the table. Chichu's off the table. Here's a guy who was hurt most of the year last year. He didn't really get his legs till late in the season. He's only making $3.5 million. Next year, he's going to be scoring 30. And 30 goals for $3.5 million is one of the best deals you can get in the NHL. And unless the Sharks can get huge value, not Marek Zidlicky value, huge value. If they can get huge value, you make that trade. Everybody's always on the block at any time. I would trade Joe Thornton for Crosby or Malkin or something like that, but everybody's always on the block. Chichu has to be seen not as a bargaining chip, but as a coveted asset.
Did you just say coveted asset?
I did.
That made me feel warm inside. I got to say that I disagree with you, Mike, that, you know, Cheech, I like Cheech. I love having him on the team. He works his butt off every game. You can never take that away from him. And he was hurt last year. But the last 2 years have been down years for Cheech. They haven't been the same, you know, 50 goal scoring. He's never going to be that guy again, I don't think. And sure,
he's going to score 56, but 30 is well within his grasp.
Do you think that it's time now to let Setoguchi and Chichu, to me, are duplicate parts? And we saw in flashes last year that Setoguchi has the ability to play that sort of Chichu out of control hockey that can be physical at times, and it can also be very effective. We saw Seto, I mean, he came out like a house of fire at times last year and was very good. So, you know, do you really need two undersized right wings in Seto and Cheech on your top two lines, or can you move one of them? I mean, maybe it's Seto.
Well, that brings me to another bet that you lost last year, which we bet early in the season after Seto came out, like he had his hair on fire and Chichu looked like he was riding a one-way ticket to the press box. And we made a bet that Seto, who would have more goals, Seto or Chichu?
Also,
and who won that bet? Me. Why, who did he pick? Chichu.
Yeah. And you also bet against Jody Shelley getting 5 points after he came over the trade deadline.
I did. How many did he end up with? Six?
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. I won.
Horrible.
That Pabst Blue Ribbon was delicious.
Okay. Well, that brings us, I think that's going to bring us to the end of this week's podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you'll tune in again next week. I hope you'll check out our blog at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. Also, check us out at dudesonhockey.com. Feel free to email us, and you're about to hear the details of that.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.